months, maybe, of protests, sporadic clashes and violence, Hong Kong's leader Carrie Lam has announced the controversial extradition bill. You will have heard about it. She says it's dead. Here's a little from her news conference this morning.
There are still lingering doubts about the government's sincerity or worries whether the government will restart the process in the Legislative Council. So I reiterate here, there is no such plan. The bill is dead.
Now, if that bill had been passed and this was the subject of public concern, it could have seen criminal suspects being sent to mainland China to face trial. That caused that ruckus, hundreds of thousands of people marching through the main streets of Hong Kong's financial hub. Last week, one group, you will have seen this too, even stormed the Legislative Council building. Anthony Dapperin is a Hong Kong-based lawyer and author, and he joins us now. Anthony, welcome.
Good evening.
This bill is dead. That sounds pretty unequivocal. Do you take that at surface value from Carrie Lam?
Look, I think the political reality is that there's no way she or her government are going to try and resuscitate this bill and bring it back into the parliament, Hong Kong's Legislative Council. But as a technical matter, she could still do that. It hasn't been formally withdrawn from the legislative calendar. And that's partly, I think, which is still causing some concern among Hong Kong's protesters and activists today.
What would be the process of making that withdrawal?
Well, it would be a simple matter of her government notifying the Legislative Council that this bill is formally withdrawn from the legislative process. The position that she's taking is that given we're due for elections in a year's time here in Hong Kong anyway, and when the parliament dissolves for those elections, the bill will naturally be automatically withdrawn at that point. Mm. She's saying, look, we don't have any plans to introduce it. I think everyone recognises the political reality that that's not going to be possible given the outcry that the initial plan caused. And so she's saying, look, that should be enough for everyone. And what it really has become is a bit of an argument of semantics over whether she's willing to use the word withdrawn in a public statement or not.
We'll watch that with interest. I mean, this then goes to reaction, and there are two key groups there, I guess, the protesters and the Chinese government. Let's begin with the protesters. Will this news appease those concerns?
No, it doesn't seem to have. The immediate reaction today from protesters was one of frustration that she still wasn't able to use the word they wanted her to use. And they have announced that they plan to go ahead with more protest actions this weekend in response, and also have sort of ridiculed her inability to use the word withdrawn, or sort of playing word games with her. There have been competitions online to come up with various metaphors for the word withdrawn and various Chinese idioms for the word dead, to see what other words she can use but avoid using the word withdrawn. So that's been the response from the protesters' side, one very much of frustration and ridicule.
And from Beijing?
Look, I think there is a sense that one of the reasons why she's been unable to use the word the protesters demand her to use is pressure from Beijing. I think both from the Hong Kong government's point of view and also from Beijing's point of view, they don't want to be seen to be giving in to the protesters' demands. They don't want to create a precedent where if anything happens that Hong Kongers aren't happy with, they can take to the streets and protest and see the government cave in. And I think they're also concerned of the message this might send to the rest of China if Beijing is seen to be, even in Hong Kong, which is a different place to the rest of China, is seen to be giving in to the demands of public protest in this way. So that seems to be part of where the pressure is coming from.
It's a good outcome, though. I would have imagined with protest escalating as it had done, it was either going to be crackdown or backdown, and we seem to have got the latter.
Yes, certainly at least in terms of this immediate focus of the protest, the extradition law. But I think the problem that the Hong Kong government is facing now is that it's sort of broadening the focus of the protesters to sort of general discontent with the government, discontent with social inequality in Hong Kong, which is one of the world's most unequal cities, and also just with the level of democracy generally. And we're seeing some of these protests now asking for example, universal suffrage to elect the chief executive, asking for reforms to the Hong Kong's Legislative Council to make it more democratic. Mm. And this is sort of risking becoming something of a people's power movement if the government doesn't do something to try and get lower the level of discontent. And Carrie Lam's statements today was just an example of how they're unable to do that and only able to sort of give half measures, which, as you say, is something of a victory, but doesn't satisfy the protesters and keeps stoking this continuing cycle of protest that we're seeing here.
And people power movements, as we know, have a checkered history with the Chinese administration.
Mm, that's right. And that's one of the things that people are concerned about. How far will Beijing allow this to go? And they've always said that as long as the Hong Kong authorities and the Hong Kong police force are able to maintain order in Hong Kong, they won't see any need to intervene or won't see any need to step in. Mm. So I think everyone's hoping that, you know, the protesters can articulate their demands and the Hong Kong government can engage with them without things reaching a point where Beijing feels it does need to intervene.
Anthony, thanks so much for your time. An interesting day.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Anthony Dapperin, he's a Hong Kong-based lawyer and author. His book, City of Protest, A Recent History of Dissent,